for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carlianna Billings.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Before There Were Hashtags podcast. I am your host, Eric Dallinger, and I'm here with Luke Optel. Oh, hey. We may have a third person in the Zoom chat with us.
It is a Spooktober miracle.
Ooh.
Or a Spooktober spell, if you will.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, Miss Carlianna Billings.
Hey, hi, hello. Ooh. It's your me. Back again, baby. Like a blast from the past. It's me.
She is here back from the way back.
That's right.
Well, not yet, baby.
Baby. She's here. She's ready. She's glad.
We tried our best to keep all your catchphrases in the pod.
I am obsessed. Y'all are the
mostly
best.
Mostly I tried to keep them alive in the pod.
Killing it.
Just to see if people would notice that it wasn't you.
Just to see. I mean, I do go places and they go, Luke? And I go, oh, no, but yes. So, I mean, it happens all the time. Makes a lot of sense.
Spooktober is Carly's thing.
Yeah, it's the vibe.
She is. Ghosts are everywhere.
She is. She does what she can. She tries her best.
Well, Carly, why don't you tell people what you've been up to?
What I've been up to? Well, I have been a little busy bee. I've been actually in New York City, just doing some comedy stuff.
Oh, cool.
And seeing the sights. And
I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've just spent fall, autumn in New York, baby. Classic. And it's been really...
Did you see any shows?
Oh, did I ever? I saw like a laundry list of shows and it's been absolutely wonderful.
Oh, cool.
Top three shows, go.
Top three, oh dang. I mean, I saw Drunk Shakespeare, which is an off-Broadway show, longstanding, critically acclaimed. I literally was watching it and I was like, wait, is this my dream job? So I think I found my dream job. While I've been here, because it was like Shakespeare meets improv meets drinking. I was like, hello, did I make this show? It's so funny.
And there's ghosts in Shakespeare, so it's your thing.
And there's it can be literally each and every bit of it. So
I can imagine it now, Carly playing Hamlet Sr. drunk.
I mean,
in New York.
Sign me up, baby. But yeah, and then I'd say I loved, oh my gosh, so many shows I loved that I saw. I mean, I saw 1776, Carolee Carmello, and the whole gang. It was so sick. Because it was, yeah, the classic, I mean, 1776, which is like fine. But it was with a whole cast of women, non-binary and trans actors, which was really sickening. So that was really, yes. Really cool. A cool rework of that show. Yeah,
that
it was
is so
awesome.
Cool.
And I'm obsessed with Carolee Carmello. I love Parade. So it was like, ah! And she plays the villain in that. So that's really cool. And I also saw...
And is it me? Am I the villain?
Am I the
drama?
I don't
think I'm the villain.
And I also saw A Strange Loop, which was incredible. Incredible. Yeah. And then I saw a bunch of other stuff that was also wonderful. But those are, I think, the three...
Did you get to see Leah in Funny Girl?
I didn't. I saw her, the alternate.
Oh, cool.
And honestly, she was amazing.
Oh, good.
She was so funny.
Was that like Julie something?
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Yeah. Her Instagram is very funny.
She's so funny. And like the one thing I would think about seeing Lea Michele in Funny Girl is that she doesn't strike me as funny. She's not funny. Sorry. Is Lea Michele funny? Is she?
Yes.
I don't think she's funny.
I don't know if she's like funny in the way I find like Tina Fey funny. I think she's
not fun. I've never laughed.
I think she's kind of funny in the way that she takes herself too seriously. Like the whole joke of Rachel Berry is that she doesn't think she's funny. Everybody else thinks she's funny.
But she's supposed to be playing one of the funniest women. Fanny Bryce is a historically funny woman. Mm-hmm. She's like the Lucille Ball of vaudeville, right?
Right.
Like she's funny. It's in the title, Funny Girl. I don't think she would be funny. Do I think that she's like, thinks she's Barbara Streisand? Sure. Do I think she would sing the shit out of it? Sure. But I think that I saw the funniest possible version that I could see. Though I wish I could have seen Beanie Feldstein as
Yes, you love Beanie.
I love Beanie. Hello, Beanie. That's what I always say. Love her. But yeah, no, it was great. It was a good show. It was really cool to see that show had a lot of tap in it, which I know you would appreciate, Eric. And it was not like showy tap. It's like tap for the sound. Oh, that's true. You both would. That's right. But it's not like Sutton Foster tap. It's like true, like sickening, period correct tapping. It was so awesome.
Oh.
Funny girl.
All right.
It's probably the best tap dancing on Broadway right now. It was so sick.
Dang. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of tap dancing on Broadway at this moment.
I mean, true. But it's like, just in general, it was so sick.
Okay.
Yeah. Sick. Right. I love that. Well, why don't we get rid of Eric, Luke, and Carly and dive into our alter egos of evil Eric.
And lurky Luke.
And creepy Carly.
Ooh. Oh, it feels so good to say again. We just do 5 minutes of evil laughing.
I mean,
there we go. There's the cackle we wanted. There it is.
Well, before we get into today's fun, spooky topic, we've got to gas up our time machine with 5 minutes of today's modern facts about pop culture. And we are doing shoulders and so voguing modern in the chat, because so podcasting fast is a visual medium.
That's right. Giving levels. You're welcome.
All right. I'm just setting up this timer.
Yeah, Carly really got the cough.
It's me. I signed up.
Two episodes ago, I had a cough. Last episode, I gave Eric my cough, and now
it's transferred.
Cough is transferred to Carly.
That's how it goes.
It became a drinking game.
That's
You've got
funny
the Spooktober curse of the cough.
Ooh.
I'm sick. Boo, you whore.
Obsessed. Okay, here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, I mean, I know this is going to be Luke's pop pick, but we have to talk about how Midnight's dropped by Miss Taylor Swift.
So good. So good. I've listened to it probably 15 times.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm enjoying it. I love Antihero. It is a bop.
Yeah, what's
Karma
everyone's...
Karma is my favorite.
What's your pick, Luke?
Karma.
Yes.
Karma is my boyfriend. Karma is a god.
Karma is a cat.
But I will also say, Snow on the Beach, she does reference Janet. So
there we go.
So it's like all my worlds are colliding and we're loving it.
Snow on the Beach is my favorite. I think it's really good.
Well, yeah, it's moody
and
sad.
And I'm also enjoying all the memes of Taylor singing 95% of it and Lana Del Rey getting like 5% of the song.
Classic.
Iconic.
She's like, we're doing a collab and you're not on it. Like, when she did the Dixie Chicks one, they also just sang backup for her. And I was like,
Taylor,
put them on the song.
Excuse me, Taylor.
Have you seen that? Just that TikTok. It's of Nicole Scherzinger and her mic's not working. And she goes up to this guy and she takes his mic away.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like Lana Del Rey and Taylor stealing the mic from Lana. It's so funny.
It's
so stupid. But I do love Snow on the Beach. It's
so good.
It is a jam.
My pick is Mastermind, I think, or Bejeweled.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Bejeweled is my second favorite.
Bejeweled got me on the first listen. I was like, this is the one.
Yeah.
But then on my like 20th listen, Mastermind is the one where I'm like, oh, this one.
I also just love that the album got leaked. So she was like, okay, well, I'm just going to release 7 more songs on the album.
As a 3 a.m.
The 3 a.m., baby.
As a 3 release.
Oh, that 3 a.m.
I think I like the majority of the original album the best. I think that there's a reason. I mean, the other ones are good, but I think the main album is definitely, she made the right call.
There's a reason why they're bonus tracks.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I've been listening solely to the 3 a.m. version because I'm like, these are 7 other tracks. How can I not put them right into my ears?
Exactly. How can you not put them on the rotation?
Right, exactly. But the main album makes a lot of sense as it is, as it stands.
I kind
of
did like the main album I did is like the explicit version. And then the 3 a.m. one, I downloaded the clean version. So it's like when I'm feeling like the clean version, I listen to the 3 a.m. when I'm feeling some swear words. Yeah. When teaching dance, we'll do the 3 a.m.
Nice.
But this 5 minutes is not just for us to gush about how much we love Taylor, but also to brag about how she has smashed every streaming record that is out there.
Yes.
She has smashed the Spotify record. She smashed the Amazon Music record. And then after that, smashed the Apple Music record. So,
as she should.
She is killing it.
Was she not the holder of the record before? Like,
I don't know. Maybe it was like BTS or someone.
I think, well, didn't Olivia Rodrigo have, like, she had a record at some point?
Oh, probably. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
She has also sold something like 800,000 copies in one day.
Upsetting, which is, in the best
in today's
way.
Market, crazy. I mean, 12 years ago, before downloading, not as crazy, but still.
People buying music,
She's on track to have this album go platinum by the end of the week.
As it should.
And like, how many vinyl copies has she sold? And she has like 5 different versions of the vinyl, so like...
Yeah.
And they all look amazing, and I want every one of them. The reason I haven't bought it yet is because I can't decide. Yes.
Harry Styles held the record for the vinyls before.
Well,
she has beat him by something like times 5.
Duh.
Carly, you need all of them because when you flip them over, it becomes a clock.
That's right. Damn.
So you need all of them.
I need them all because I need
if
the
clock. If anyone's buying a Spooktober/Christmas present for Carly, buy her and just coordinate which version of the vinyl you're buying so that she gets all 4.
We'll not be upset. We'll be grateful. Full grateful.
Yes. If you don't know, buy her one and give it a gift receipt so that she can turn it in for the one that she needs.
Yes.
Correct. The whole collection.
And not to change the subject for the last 30 seconds of this 5 minutes, but Hailey Bieber and Selena Gomez took a picture together at an award show, kind of squashing their beef, proving to the fans that there was never really any hard feelings between the two of them and that this was all sort of a fan-created... few that doesn't really exist. Turns out they were just asked if they wanted a picture and they said yes, and it's a cute picture. They're hugging.
Aww.
Cuties.
Both Biebs girls. Former.
Hope you're enjoying him.
All his diseases, because he's so sick all the time.
Oh, I was like, there's a different rumor that I haven't heard that, like...
What?
I just kind of made it seem like you were, like, Justin Bieber had a bunch of STIs he was just, like, giving to everybody.
Oh. No, I was
because that's the connection between them. But yes, he's like his face is like,
and he has shingles.
Oh,
poor babe.
The Canadians, these poor Canadian stars, they can't. They all get Lyme disease.
Oh, they all get Lyme disease. There's 3 of them that have had Lyme.
Stay
disease.
Stay out of the woods.
Right? Ticks are a problem. That's all.
No.
Check for ticks.
Ticks are a problem.
Ticks are a problem.
Well, we have timed out, so we are going to get in to today's spooky subject.
Ooh.
And you know what I realized? We only did 2 Spooktobers this month because we started halfway through the month, and next week is Halloween, so.
Hey.
I know.
That's how it goes.
Listen, I asked if you wanted to do earlier ones, and you said,
nah. I wanted to do Allie and AJ. So,
and guess what?
They got it.
Everyone loved that idea. So.
Because whose podcast is this? Ours. So we make the rules.
And there you go.
True. To be fair, it's kind of like right like after Thanksgiving, then we started Spooktober. So it's kind of still kind of appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, the weather's been really hot up till now anyways. So like, whose fault is that? Not ours. So.
All right. Well, today we are talking about the spookiest club there is. The most dangerous club you can only join once you're dead.
The Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. That's different? Different?
That's different?
Equally spooky.
Equally spooky.
Maybe even more.
Honestly.
Maybe even more.
Maybe.
We find out all the kids were dead the whole time.
Ba-ba-ba.
Brittany, Christina, Justin.
No, sorry. Your intro was so good and I had to ruin it with a joke, so sorry.
Yes, we are talking about the infamous 27 Club.
Bum, bum, bum.
So the 27 Club is a group of musicians and actors and famous people, largely rock and roll musicians, that all mysteriously have passed at the ripe age of 27.
Oh, the rather unripe age, because 27, that ain't that old, you know?
Yeah, the early age, I should say.
No, yeah. None of us can be like, oh, it's so old.
Oh, so 27. Incredibly old. 27.
You know, Amy Winehouse, she lived a full life, 27 years old.
I mean, they all lived quite full lives, so to be fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And it did them in.
Hi, audience. It is Editor Eric just popping in here. I just wanted to issue a trigger warning that today's topic deals a lot with death, heroin use, suicide. So if you are not in the mental state to handle that, please click off now. Thanks so much. Back to the episode. Where do we want to start with this subject? Because there's a lot of members. I have kind of profiled 6 or 7 of the big ones.
I mean, we should start with maybe the one that maybe started it. We want to deal with a certain devil.
Yes. Ooh. Okay, let's start there.
Let's do it.
Yes.
To be fair, that's just the oldest one. So we may as well start back and then work our way, you know, like we usually do. We start in the way, way back and then work our way back to now. So
we love consistency.
All right. So Robert Johnson was a very famous blues musician in the 1930s. And Johnson had a rather troublesome upbringing. He was one of 10 children to his mother, and actually he was illegitimate, so he never met his father, and his stepfather didn't like him very much due to the fact that he was not his and was born out of wedlock. His wife, he married his wife, and then his wife would die 1 year later in childbirth. So he was not the most lucky person.
No.
But the story really goes that... So a famous musician named Sunhouse would often play at different blues clubs, and Robert Johnson would come around and listen to him play. In between his breaks in his set, Johnson would ask if he could come up and play the guitar. And he was actually a fairly good harmonica player, but he wasn't great at the guitar, to the point that people would boo him and tell him that he wasn't allowed to play anymore. And then at one point, he actually disappears for a full year, goes away. And when he comes back, he's an amazing guitar player.
Dang.
He's like the father of the Delta Blues. Like, he was incredible.
He was incredible. And so speculation started happening about how he became so good. And one of the biggest rumors that happened was that he went to a crossroads, and there the devil showed up. Some people also claim that it was an African demon, but most people say that it was the devil.
Demon, you know, kind of, it's from the same cloth.
Yeah.
One I'm going to split those hairs this Spooktober, you know? Either way, something's going to happen when you meet them at a crossroads.
Yeah, so he takes the guitar and starts playing it, and then gifts the guitar back to Johnson.
No, he tunes it. He tunes the guitar.
He tunes the guitar. Yes, you're right. You are correct.
So that it sounds good.
Gives it back to Johnson. Johnson becomes the greatest blues artist of all time. I don't know if he's really the greatest.
Of his time. Of his time, we'll say.
There we go. There we go.
And then Johnson would die at the age of 27, leading people to believe that the debt of selling your soul to the devil has to be repaid by the age of 27.
Dang. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Dang.
His death has actually been very mysterious, and many people still don't know why it happened. The biggest belief was actually that he was with a woman who was married, and he was poisoned by the husband.
Drama! Drama mama!
Drama. And he would die on the 16th of August, 1938.
I just like, what if he had just been playing an out-of-tune guitar the whole time? And he just met someone at a crossroads and was like, hey buddy, you actually are, like, if you just tuned your guitar, you could play it.
Yeah, like, your fingering's
like,
fine.
It was never like the devil, it was just like a guy who was like, actually, your G chord is just a little off, so if you just... And then he was like, oh, this works now. Just no one showed him how to tune his guitar.
Brilliant with his fingers, just
yeah, he just had no idea how to work a guitar.
Yeah, he just didn't know.
What, you have to tune it?
What do you mean you gotta tune it?
But yeah, the devil likes to take you at 27. Dang. Which is such a strange number.
It's very arbitrary. Yeah.
Now, the rumor that he met the devil was enforced by the fact that he had a song called The Crossroad Blues. Mm. And in The Crossroad Blues, he sings about going to a crossroads and falling down on his knees, pleading for his life. Now, it's interesting because people have sort of interpreted this about him pleading with God to save his soul from the devil, but in reality, it doesn't really make any mention of a devil or God. It's just sort of ambiguous. So we don't quite really know why the rumor of the song got spun into this direction, except for the fact that a lot of blues songs at the time often mentioned things about the devil and God, and these were thematic elements that were part of lots of different blues genres, including his own, so he had songs about the devil, but this particular song really wasn't. So it's just interesting how stories get spun. Yes, so that is the story of Robert Johnson, the first major member in the 27 Club.
Dang.
Dun, dun,
dun.
Yeah, very spooky beginnings.
And most of the information I got on that is by a YouTube channel called DeBurk321. So go check them out because I want to give credit to them because they did a great job. All right, well, we're going to fast forward some time because the next four members of the 27 Club all died within 2 years of each other.
This is the main reason for the 27 Club.
The main four. All right, so July 3rd, 1969, Brian Jones, founding member of the Rolling Stones, was found at the bottom of his pool. His girlfriend found him and claimed that he still had a pulse when he was taken out of the pool, but he was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. He, at this point, had kind of been a little bit disgraced. He was dismissed from the Stones for having issues with drugs.
Like, 2 weeks before, right?
Yeah, like recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty soon before. His death was mourned by future 27 Club members, Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison. Hendrix dedicated a performance on TV, and Morrison wrote a poem called Ode to LA while thinking of Brian Jones, deceased.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just weird in hindsight now that we know that they both also died recently after that, but I mean, I'm sure they weren't the only two that gave...
No.
Tributes to him, but like it's just weird, but I'm sure like almost all the big stars then probably gave some tribute because they were huge stars, but it is spooky and noteworthy that the two that joined him also like tributed to him.
Yes.
But yeah, dying in the bottom of your pool.
Yeah, it's sort of unclear whether it was accidental or whether it was suicide. People are not exactly sure of that.
I also saw one that he might have been murdered.
Yes.
By the contractor that was working on his house.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
I'm terrible at my sources, but I did watch a YouTube video where that was one of the claims, was that he had like a payment dispute with his contractor. And that was one of the rumors that the contractor had put him in the pool.
Ooh. Very dramatic.
But again, this is, what did we say?
Speculation.
Allegedly.
yes. Everything we say is sort of under the guise of
allegedly.
But
just add a little more. Ooh.
Ooh. Spooky.
Ooh. Murder.
Murder was foul.
Ooh. Murderers are everywhere.
Ooh.
The next member of the 27 Club was Jimi Hendrix. So on September 18th, 1970, I literally wrote 107. That's why I got confused there. He died very early.
In the year 107.
Of our dear Lord. Yes. 1970.
There we go. We got there.
As I said, reading is not my strong suit.
No. 1970. Yes, we went from 69, and now we're just...
The next
not
year.
Not even a year later, 1970.
Just, yeah, bumping it up.
While sleeping, he would choke on his own vomit and die.
Ugh, it's awful.
The freaky thing about Jimi Hendrix is that he predicted his own death. So he had a tarot card reading in which he pulled the death card, and he was going around telling friends that he would die before the age of 30. And 2 days before he died, he was quoted as saying, "I'm almost gone." And also, once again, some people think he was murdered.
Mm.
I think it's, the death card is so, it's so interesting, because if you know tarot, the death card is not actually the worst thing you can pull. It usually just means, like, a death of an era of your life, or a death of something that you are going through, so it actually can be a very positive thing, it can mean change. Yeah. But I don't know how this tarot card reader
interpreted it
to him, but he definitely felt like he was on death's door.
I know, it's so weird, because... Like, knowing a little bit about tarot, the card that people don't love to pull is not the death card, it's the tower.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, it's, like, death is just like, no, whatever, like, it's an opportunity for something
that's
changing.
It's not your
changing.
Death, necessarily, yeah. But I guess in his case it was.
But in his case, turns out, I guess, but, yeah,
it was
very
interesting.
Yeah, it was
his manager, right, that they think might have killed him because he was going to drop him. like Jimmy was going to leave his manager, and they think that he was the one that killed him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all the speculation.
So much speculation. And also, like,
that's what I'm here for.
The whole 27 Club thing, too, is so interesting because people with unexpected early death, especially, like, opens that door a lot. Like, people are looking for different reasons other than the reason that they're given, you know, a lot of times for unexpected events. So it is, it's so, like, we'll never know, you know?
But it is just interesting that 2 days before he said, I'm almost gone.
Oh, it's beyond,
It's beyond.
It's beyond the grave.
Beyond the slave.
Yeah, it's also just difficult because, like, them and also all their close friends were all on intense drugs a lot. So, like, people say a lot of stuff when they're on drugs.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I don't know, I don't hang out with people that do a lot of heavy drugs, but based what on I've movies, heard is that you, like, say a lot of things and do a lot of things. I have never done hard drugs. At least not the ones like Jimi Hendrix and all of them were doing, that's for sure. Definitely not my scene. I'm not a rock and roll party boy.
No. Well, let's move on to our next member. Next comes Janis Joplin, who died just a few days later, October 4th, 1970, she overdosed from heroin. A friend actually cleaned up the scene before the authorities got to her, but then realized that they would still find drugs in her system, so it didn't, like, change the events at all.
Yeah, because they were going to do an autopsy, so it's like, so then she just put them back. She's like, actually, these were there, just in case you're wondering.
Now, what was interesting about Janis Joplin's death is that the heroin found in her system was really, really strong, and that it is believed that the dealer that gave her the heroin gave her stronger heroin than she had ever done before. And we know this, too, because other people died from that same heroin batch.
Yeah, like, I think three or four other people that he gave drugs to died that weekend.
Oh.
So they think it was the dealer's fault. Like, either he, like, purposefully wanted to murder some people, or he just gave them a way stronger dose. I don't know. Seems like a terrible business model.
Yeah. Yikes.
That one's a little less mysterious because it's, well, other people died from the same heroin, so obviously it was probably the heroin.
Yeah, it's like, that one's pretty clear for as murky as it is.
I mean, still awful, but just not as mysterious.
So moving on after that, directly 2 years after Brian Jones's death, Jim Morrison would die on July 3rd, 1971. So the same day, 2 years later, Jim Morrison was, of course, famous for being part of the group The Doors. He would die in Paris in his bathtub.
Wait, 2 years later or 1 year later?
2 years. It was 1969.
From
Brian Jones. Gotcha. Yeah, from the first, yeah. Bookending it.
Bookending, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was found in his bathtub in Paris. His girlfriend, Pamela Corson, found him. It is suspected that he died of a heroin overdose, but there was no autopsy. So his death is given the... Sorry, his death was by heart failure officially, but it is suspected due to heroin usage.
Yeah, because apparently, like, the French police don't have to do an autopsy.
Very strange.
When suspicious, which was very... very strange.
But here's the other creepy thing about Jim Morrison's death, is that 2 years later, Pamela Corson died as well at the age of 27.
Oh, no.
Oh, that girlfriend. Was not what I was thinking you were going to say.
Oh, what did you think I was going to say?
Oh, again, me coming in with the alleged things that might have happened.
Oh.
Again, I probably listened to a podcast that was not correct at all.
No, it's fine. It's great.
Allegedly, he died at a club, but the club owner didn't want to get shut down. So he got the two bodyguards to move the body
to
the bathtub so that rigor mortis would be less prevalent, so they couldn't get the time of death. So he was already dead when they moved the body. And his girlfriend was passed out because she was always known to do drugs. So she wouldn't have discovered the body till later. So allegedly, this club owner in France, after he overdosed at the bar, got the body moved so that the club wouldn't be implicated in the death and get shut down for drug use.
What? Oh my God, that's crazy.
Allegedly.
We also didn't say the name of the club, so we're good.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm sure it's, I mean, it's a club, and this was the 70s. I'm sure it's long gone.
Wow. Wowzers.
But yeah, yeah, that's why they put him in a bath, because it it made rigor mortis go in more slowly so they wouldn't be able to put the time of death.
Morris? Who's Morris? Sorry. Sorry, I had to.
This is rigor mortis.
No, you gotta do Drag Race. But also they think because in the bath you're, like, I guess the drugs can go through your system more, so you're more likely to die of a drug overdose when your body's warm in a bathtub.
Whoa.
So it's also, it could have just been the fact that, like, he had alcohol and drugs in the system, and when you're in a bath, because your heart, your blood can pump faster, it can kill you. So it's like the combination of those three things. So don't do them.
That's what we're learning here today is, yeah, baths are murderers. So don't have a bath.
Just like
I'm team shower. So that sounds awesome to me.
Listen, talk to Janet Leigh in a psycho. She'll tell you a shower is deadly.
That's fair.
You can't see your surroundings when that curtain's
potato.
Closed.
Hey.
You know?
No, it's just, you have to have a shower with the glass doors.
That's true.
True.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't get too foggy, mm-hmm. you're good.
Or it's, mm-hmm. and it can't be fogged up or shimmered glass.
Right, yeah. That clear crystal glass.
Clear glass. You have to have
But you know, no matter what, there will be a message left in your mirror in the fog.
I know what you did last summer. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's my allegedly.
I love that you have these little alleged facts to all the deaths. Yeah. I love it, Luke.
Yeah.
Eric has all the real facts. Luke has all the, like, this might have been what happened.
Ooh. Hey, we need it all in this world. Or else, what else are we doing?
Yeah, you're not coming here for facts. You're coming here for entertainment and alleged facts.
We love it.
Ain't that the truth?
Well.
So those are the main four.
Those are the main four, but yeah. At this point, there was no term called the 27 Club. It wasn't until our next member that it really mm-hmm. was cemented as a real club. And that is Nirvana lead singer Kurt Cobain.
Bury that.
We've moved on to the 90s.
We've moved on
We're
to the
90s. We're in the
90s. Fast forward.
Three glorious co-hosts have been born.
That's right.
I was 1 year old. I wasn't even 1 year at this point.
Oh, I wasn't even born yet, actually. Not for a few
Wait,
more
what?
Months. I'm an October
oh
baby.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And
duh.
He's an April die.
I'm, yes. And I'm a May 1993, so it's less than a year.
Mm. We get it. I'm the oldest.
Sorry, Luke.
That's why I come with all the conspiracy theories. I'm just the old man with all the legend conspiracy
hat.
Theories.
I love it for
yeah.
you. It looks good on you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, so Kurt Cobain would die April 5th, 1994. So he died by suicide, and he left a note, actually, to his childhood imaginary friend.
Named Boda.
And so in his note, he remarked that he had no passion or excitement for music anymore, and that he felt that it was better to burn out than to fade away. 1 week before his death, he escaped from a rehab facility and got on a plane, and he went missing. Like, he was a missing person. And his girlfriend at the time, or actually, was it girlfriend or wife, was Courtney Love, and she hired a private investigator to find him. But he was later found in his house by an electrician.
With Whoa. A shotgun in his hands.
Found dead, I should say.
So
yeah.
sad.
So much, yeah.
It's just so sad. I believe mm-hmm. he had a child at the time, too.
Yeah, he did. A young son, I think?
I don't know, it's just like, I guess that is, like, the truth is, like, when you're at the top, where do you go from the top? The fear
Well,
of...
and I also heard that, like, he missed the days where he was just like in the punk scene and was like unknown and could go down the street and just like make his music and people weren't swarming him. Like, he was a huge celebrity, and like the issue is most of those musicians get into it because they like want to make a point and like stick it to the man and like not be mainstream, and then when they become mainstream it's hard to reconcile that image with now you're like everybody knows you.
Yeah, that it would just be incredibly tough to have to recenter your entire identity once yeah. you make it to the top.
And I mean, he also like had a lot of mental like
of
a lot of mental illness and things, and he had a lot of people in his family had committed suicide.
Before we jump to his family though, he also like about a month earlier was diagnosed with bronchitis and severe laryngitis. As performers.
Bronchitis?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody got time for bronchitis or severe laryngitis. Not only is it all these like societal pressures and things, but like when the one thing that you have that's yours isn't working as an artist, you feel like shit. Says the girl who's had a cold for 3 weeks and still had to do stand up sounding like this. Like, you know, it feels bad. But
no, I get it. But it's when I tore my knee, it was something I was like, will I ever dance again? Will I ever be a dancer?
Yeah.
It feels awful. Yeah.
It's so totally scary. But yes, you're right. There was a family history here. So he had three uncles. One was a great uncle that had committed suicide, and his mother begged him, please don't join that club. Please don't join that club. And a lot of people, sort of urban myth, have turned this about, please don't join the 27 club. But really, she was talking about the family suicide. Yeah, because technically
the 27 club wasn't really in the zeitgeist as the 27 club. So she wouldn't have probably called it that club.
Right. But it is funny and interesting that after that statement of hers became public, that the club became the 27 club. Like, that's kind of what people decided that's what that meant.
Associate.
Yeah. So it really was like the birth of that idea.
Totally.
Really. Of people putting the pieces together, you know?
This episode feels so heavy sometimes, like trying to like find levity, but
it's a lot.
It's so much to digest.
I mean, it's just young people dying in the prime of their careers. It's just so awful.
Well, the thing that I found weird thinking about this was they are all younger than us now.
Yeah.
That's so true.
People that my whole life had heard about, and one of them, the next one actually, like, watched pass, they were all older than me for my whole life. And now, as a 29-year-old, like, I'm just a little bit older, but, like, they are permanently 27, and I...
Yeah, well, or not.
I've outlived them is such a weird concept in my head. And maybe that's very self-centered to think about it in that way, but it's just odd.
I'd be lying if I didn't say, one of the first thoughts I had like 2 weeks ago when I turned 28 was, oh, I survived. I won't be part of the 27 club, you know?
Yeah.
It was a real thought that crossed my brain.
So interesting.
It really shows the impact of this.
I mean, it's just so interesting, like, because it's just a young game. Like, the music industry, you just forget that, like, these are 20-year-olds most of the time dealing with all of this fame and people wanting things from them and telling them they're amazing and yes and all these things and do all, like, and it takes so much energy to have to be that person that, they were putting all this pressure on these 20-year-olds. That sometimes,
like, no wonder why famous people get weird, you know?
Yeah.
And in the 60s and 70s, like, all these drugs were just sort of new, and at the beginning they weren't that strong, and then they got stronger, and, like, it's just
And, like, the science, I mean, drug science is not maybe the best, but like, in the case of Janis Joplin, like, here's a batch that was just so much stronger than the rest, and nobody would know. Nobody would know going into that. There's no way to tell. Now, like, even with weed, like, we know weed is stronger than it was 20 years ago, but we at least have that knowledge. And when we buy it, we know what we are getting ourselves into. And that's just weed.
But everything's gotten stronger, so that's why, like, things like fentanyl and stuff, like, it's just gotten so much worse. But in the 70s and 60s, like, no one was regulating it. It was just like, everyone's just doing it, and it's fun and love, and then but then you get dependent on it, and you're having to deal with all this fame, and you need something to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, coping is a huge one.
Well, as I said, the next member of the 27 Club was somebody that we all grew up watching and listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So the next major member of the 27 Club was Amy Winehouse, who would pass away July 23rd, 2011. And she would die of complications with alcohol poisoning. So at 25 years old, she actually expressed fears of joining the 27 Club to her manager. So it's sort of similar to Jimi Hendrix. It reflects this idea of people knowing their end is near and that they are having problems, but having the inability to step in and change their own fate.
Yeah. It's like so sad.
Yeah, it's even interesting too with her is, like, her family was trying to get her help, and, like, she even wrote the song Rehab about her family wanting to get her help. Like, she knew she had a problem,
and just that's like her biggest song that we all listened to, and we're all like, oh, this is so funny, and it was like, oh, well, it's still like her probably her biggest song. Mm-hmm. It gets played all the time.
Yeah.
And people often blame her boyfriend for sort of getting her into that scene.
Yeah, between Rehab and Valerie, I'd say her two.
Yeah.
Humongo, right? And, like, that's so sad. And, there's a sadness in someone who has no, self-awareness, but there's even more sadness in someone who's incredibly self-aware, who mm-hmm. can't save themselves from their own fate. Yeah.
100%.
And looking back, like, this is the early 2010s and late 2000s, so this was a celebrity culture that wasn't always the nicest to people struggling. Like, we're still getting off the tail end of Britney and her 2007-2008 issues. I remember laughing at this. I remember not her death, but I remember her alcoholism being the butt of jokes. I remember her performing at the MTV Video Awards and her slurring words to her songs to the point that nobody could understand what she was saying. And people making jokes.
It was like part of her image that she like was kind of this messy drunk. And it was like part of her allure and part of her like celebrity was that she was this kind of like messy drunk who made amazing music and like wasn't like incredible writer, but like what also you never knew what she was going to do when she showed up to perform or stuff. Like it was part of her allure. So then it's also like, do you, as an artist like that, you kind of also get fed that this is part of the reason why people like you. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It's a bit like people love this like party girl with this sickening voice. The like, it's a little bit like mystery of like way out what's going to happen. It's a little bit like, we know it's going to be entertaining. People love to watch, like, the Hot Mess Express, you know?
Yeah, and once again...
so sad.
Just, like, the time era of this was Paris Hilton and...
Yeah.
Kesha.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that
was like, all these, like, I'm partying girls.
Early Lady Gaga.
Let's be messy. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, Amy's a big reason for that, why that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I know that also her family, I think specifically her brother... said that the fact that she suffered from bulimia was also part of the reason why she probably, like, her body wasn't very strong because she also suffered with that. So that's also probably why she died of alcohol poisoning, was because she actually had been suffering with bulimia as well, with the whole, because we also know the 2000s were very
thin focused.
Yeah. Hugely so.
And even bulimia too disrupts, like, the lining of your stomach and your esophagus, which actually means that alcohol absorbs into your system faster and makes
and more intensely.
It's actually the reason, fun fact, champagne, and they say champagne makes you drunker, is because the bubbles irritate your stomach.
Right.
So the fact that the bulimia was irritating her system means that she was getting drunk faster and had a weakened immune system, as you previously said.
Yeah.
Wild.
Totally wild.
So there's a few other little fun facts.
None of this is fun.
This is a serious episode. So Carly, you might actually like this. One of the reasons given for the 27 Club is astrological. So around 29 years is your return of Saturn.
You're talking about the Saturn return,
the
baby.
The Saturn return, and it usually starts actually a little bit before and lasts a little bit after. So 27 falls into that zone. So the return of Saturn and Saturn return brings obstacles and sadness into a person's life. And it's believed that because these artists were tortured souls to begin with, the return of Saturn intensified that to a point where they couldn't handle it, and they either turned to suicide or drugs to help deal with these issues.
Right, like it hit them hard because they were already hit hard by life. Gotcha. I mean, Saturn return is a vibe, like a growing, trying time in a person's life. So,
it is.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's growing pains, right?
Yeah, well, it is an astrological reason for a quarter life crisis.
Literally, yeah.
And theoretically, if it happens every 27 years, 29 years, you get another one at your midlife crisis.
You do, yeah, which is like why, yeah. We love the stars, they explain the things in our life.
Do they, or do the things in our life explain the stars?
Aren't they the same? Aren't we just made of stars? This is
we are just stardust.
Working. Aren't we just we stardust?
Just it's call a, me Ziggy. Working,
right? My working musical, Stardust the Musical. It's all about the Zodiac. We just go through the Zodiac. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Now, somebody that just missed the 27 Club was Mac Miller, who actually, in one of his songs, mentioned something about not wanting to join the 27 Club. Well, in a sad twist of fate, he got his wish and died a few weeks before his 27th birthday.
So sad. I guess his deal with the devil, just he was like, please don't let me join that club. And the devil's like, all right.
Yeah,
make that happen.
You get what you get. Yeah. And
don't get upset.
I mean, someone else who died just after 27, who people often think of when they think of the 27 Club, even though they didn't die at 27, is Heath Ledger as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
He died at 28.
Heath Ledger died at 28. Yeah. But in and around the arena.
Yes. Still within the Saturn Returns, or Return of Saturn.
Very that.
Another phenomenon that has kind of happened is the 21 Club. And so the 27 Club often is R&B and rock and roll stars, and more R&B when it was more connected to rock, which now R&B is more connected to hip-hop. But
right.
The 21 Club tends to be more rap stars. So we have Lil Pump and Juice WRLD. And Juice WRLD wrote, "What's the 27 Club? We ain't making it past 21," in one of his songs.
Damn.
In his song Legends. So he knew his end was going to be 21. So.
Damn.
Let's hope the 21 Club doesn't become as prolific as the 27 Club. And let's hope that we have very few new members to the 27 Club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple other members that are like considered members, but not like, because like the umbrella is a little bit wider than just musicians. Mm-hmm. Like, people have widened it, even though these people are also musicians. A couple that I wanted to mention are Jean-Michel Basquiat and Anton Yelchin.
Yes.
Who both are not famous for being, I know, musicians, though they are also, were also musicians and are technically.
Anton Yelchin, that was rough.
That was rough, right?
He got crushed by his Jeep in between the Jeep and the gate in his driveway. Like, that is not a way to go.
Mm-mm, that's not
it. And
it
was just a freak accident. Like, he didn't notice his Jeep went into neutral, and then it crushed him.
I know. No death is a good death, but, like, that's...
But, like,
that's
not it.
All right, well, I think that brings us back to now, and...
Or as Carly would say, back from the way back.
Can you say it, Carly?
Back
Can
from
you...
the way back.
Yeah!
Oh, we're back from the way back.
All right. Well, that brings us back to the way back. Oh, no. That brings
back
us back to the present.
From the way back.
From the way back.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
She's back from the way back.
And we like to finish this episode off with our pop picks. So, Creepy Carly, what are your pop picks? What are you listening to? What are you watching?
I mean, Elf in the Room, Midnights. But, like, besides that... I have been watching, I just started actually watching the TV show Crashing, which is like the stand-up comedy TV show with like a ton of, you know, comedy people in it. It's not a new show, but I was talking with one of my stand-up pals, Justin Shaw, and he was like, "You haven't seen Crashing?" And I was taking, you know, a stand-up course here in New York, and he was like, "You need to watch it now." So because it's about stand-up in New York. Like, that's the premise of the TV show, is this comic trying to make it in New York. And I started watching it, and it's very sad and very funny. And I would very much recommend that show.
Has comedians.
Yeah, it's tons of comedians. It has, like, oh my gosh, there's everybody in it. It's great. It's so great. I'm, like, maybe 5 episodes in, but I would highly, highly recommend it.
Luke, what are your pop picks?
Again, Elephant in the Room, Midnight, obviously, but we've already talked about that. But another pop diva released an album on Friday. Canada's own Carly Rae Jepsen debuted her album, The Loneliest Time, which I put on Midnights, and then right after I play her album, and then I switch through, or sometimes I put my favorites from both of them and make my own album. It's really fun. It's very Carly, very pop, very fun.
It's a trending TikTok sound.
I'm coming back for you, baby.
I'm coming back for you.
I do love that moment. Good. Me and Josh Doig laughed about it all Friday, that part of the song. And it's yeah, it's just a fun album. It's not as like, you know, it's not as serious as Taylor's. It's a little more fun, and I really like her. What's the song? The Beach House one, where she talks about all the like bad men that she's dated. It's a very like funny song. It's just like, if you like Carly Rae Jepsen, you'll like this album. And she's Canada's nice. Own, so we love to support
Canada's own. We love she it. Shares my name. I love her, and she is
she's
amazing.
She's a theater girl. She's a musical theater girl.
That's right. She's camp, yeah, baby.
Is it CCPA?
Yeah, she went to CCPA.
Canada College for
she was that's right. Cinderella on Broadway, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah, she replaced Laura Osnes at one point.
Broadway's own.
So we stand Carly Rae.
We stand. We absolutely stand
Eric. Carly Rae. Last but certainly not least.
I have what's been watching poppin'? The fifth season of Working Moms on Netflix. Ooh.
It's out.
TV show. CBC.
Love that CanCon.
And I'm loving it. And you know what? If you're looking for something a little spooky, there's some ghosts in this season.
Oh. Are they everywhere?
Are they everywhere? Mm. They're everywhere in our house.
Dang.
Not really. I might be overselling it. But, yeah. The show's great. Great Canadian TV show. Great female-led comedy. I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the whole series. New season is out. It is not the last season. They're doing one more.
Nice.
So you still got time to get into
it. Okay. Love that.
I did like all the other seasons, so I'm excited to watch the new one after I'm done my like Spooktober watches.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Carly.
Yeah.
Hey, Carly, it's been so nice
oh my
having
gosh.
You back.
It's been so nice to be back. What a treat and a pleasure.
I love it, and we don't know what the future is going to hold in terms of if Luke's going to do episodes or if Carly's going to do episodes, but you will get episodes, listeners.
You're right.
Whether it's all three of us or just two of us, who knows?
Maybe it'll be me and Carly one time.
Who
you
knows?
Don't know.
That'd be fun.
Ooh,
that'd be fun.
Hot.
Just but I mean,
baby.
This, now that Spooktober's ending, you know, there's got to be plans for Guestmas.
Oh.
Luke has said it.
Ready.
We are doing Guestmas.
I've said it.
It's happening. Get into it.
We love it. All right. Well, we are going to sign off. Have a safe Halloween. Don't do anything too crazy. Come up with your creative costumes and hey, send them to us.
Hey.
Maybe we'll enjoy them and repost them. I don't know. Who knows?
Oh my gosh. If you do before their hashtags themed costume, anybody, please send it to us. If you dress up as Ali and AJ, if you dress up as Paris Hilton or Hillary, like, just
Janet
let us
Jackson,
know.
Any and all are welcome.
If you were Janet Jackson in Snow on the Beach, you know, like, here's the
options.
Thing.
There's options.
She reacted to it, though.
She did. I know. I saw the TikTok where she listened to it and was like, I love it, Taylor.
So good. So good.
All right. All well, right. We're going to peace out. Thanks for listening.
Woo!
That's the old theme.
And that's my favorite.